We're getting to Bernie Miklas a little bit early. I appreciate you being flexible. Bernie, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thanks for the invite, as always. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
I'm always happy to get you on.
Yeah, I was told I'd have to talk you off the ledge today, though. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. I had to get that joke in.
Well, I watched your new YouTube show, your debut today. Really enjoyed it. I watch everything you do or read everything you do. I'm a Cardinals fan through and through, and these are a little bit of troubled times. You went into it in pretty good detail on your YouTube show this morning. I'm finding it difficult to be as optimistic as some Cardinals fans are. I'm just not of the belief that this is going to be fixed by the current regime led by John Mozeliak. Am I off base?
No, I'm right there with you. My optimism level is not totally kaput, but it's getting close, you know. And as I mentioned, and thanks for mentioning the YouTube channel I have, you know, their next 30 games, they got 90% of them are against winning teams who also have a higher winning percentages than the Cardinals. So the point is, any chance they have of turning around this trend they're on, it's really, really a downtrend. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they're going to have to do it over the next 30 games. I mean, they can't continue to kind of stumble around, or they'll be out of time, because I mean, that the 30 game stretch ends on September 8th. And so then you're down to the final 3 weeks or so. And they just can't close any ground on the Brewers, and they're slipping further behind in the wild card race. And, you know, offense is really down. It hadn't been good all year except in spurts. I mean, starting pitching starting to go sour. I think the bullpen's pretty good, but, you know, they're not as much strikeout and swing or miss stuff. So they got a lot of problems. I mean, this thing is not just like, well, they're in a little slump type thing. I think it goes deeper than that. I mean, you know, so I think it's going to be a really tough challenge for them. I mean, there was a time I felt pretty good about their chances, but they've kind of knocked that out of me. As it's been the same for you, they've knocked that out of you as well.
So, Bernie, I'm not a Cardinals fan. But as an outside,
he used to be, and then he deserted.
Yeah, 700 years ago. But as an outside observer, I look at, you know, Mason Wynn, Brendan Donovan, Alec Burleson, Jordan Walker, Ivan Herrera, Victor Scott, all these young players that they have either given extended looks to or kind of short circuited, and they made trades last year to get young pitching and other young position players. What's the problem with just going with these young players? It's not going to get much worse than it is now, so why not kind of rebuild a little bit on the fly?
Well, I've had that thought too, and I think it all depends on what happens after this season. You know, I think there's certainly a distinct possibility that John Mozeliak will, you know, step down. I mean, he's dropped some hints that longtime Mozeliak observers such as myself can pick up on. I mean, they brought in Chaim Bloom as an advisor, and he did a wonderful job at Tampa Bay, and I think he got a raw deal in Boston. So I think he wants to get back to running a team, and his specialty is pitching, and that's been the Cardinals' downfall. They lost their ability to evaluate, draft, and develop pitchers, which used to be their strength. Now it's their weakness, and so it all depends. If there's a regime change after this season, you know, it really depends on how they look at it. I shouldn't assume it's going to be Chaim Bloom. If I had to bet $5 at the racetrack window, I'd bet on him. But it doesn't mean it'll happen. But if this is another bad year, it ends poorly, I don't have a feel for whether they'd want to go in that direction or not. But listen, you know, to your point, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, and I think the offense is still, pardon me, the offense is still the biggest problem on the team. And I know people get on Ollie Marmol, I get it, but I think it's kind of missing the target, because look, you take a manager and you put them in charge of a team. So this is your team, this is your lineup, and you got Nolan Arenado, you got Paul Goldschmidt. You got a guy who had a really terrific rookie season last year in Jordan Walker, and you have a guy, Nolan Gorman, who last year slugged nearly 500 and got, shown really good improvement. So let's fast forward to this year. I mean, Arenado is suddenly looking very old at age 33. Goldie is old, and they're having career worst seasons. And then the two young guys you were going to build around, Gorman is like a ghost. I mean, since early June, he's hitting 157, and his strikeout rate's like 40%. He's turned into a ghost. Walker's still in Memphis, and he hasn't exactly tore it up down there. So when a huge part of your lineup, let's face it, that's like four big pieces in your lineup, and they all go bad, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. So I think they could win again next season, but I think Bill DeWitt Jr. is going to have to be willing to spend more money. They need more of an infusion, but it's just really tough to see all these guys go south that they were counting on. I'm sorry for the long answer.
It's okay. Well, that's what we love about you. Bernie Miklas, our guest, longtime media figure in the city of St. Louis. You can read his work at scoopsnetwork.com, as well as his new YouTube show. So you mentioned Goldschmidt and Arenado. I've read some things. I haven't really zoned in today. I've been kind of busy, but read some things that the Cardinals are considering negotiating something new with him. I don't know if that's factual or not. I don't know I don't see why you would bring Paul Goldschmidt back for another run. I also am concerned about the decline of Nolan Arenado, who's just simply not the same player he was a year or two ago. So how do you resolve those issues if you're the Cardinals? They're still on the hook for a lot of money with Arenado.
I think they got to be really careful, to your point, about Goldschmidt. He's a class act. I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. Much respect for him, but everybody gets old, except for you, Bob, and me. We don't get old. Everybody gets old, and they lose their fastball, so to speak. And, Goldie's been – look, he was awful over the weekend, and he was up for, the final three games against the Cubs. And he was bad again yesterday, really bad. He's been all right, but he's got to be better than all right. But, in fairness to him, Father Time always wins, and he's just not the same hitter. His strikeout rate, and he looks at called strikes all the time, a lot of swings and misses. I'd be very reluctant to bring him back. And Nolan Arenado, I think they're stuck with him. His contract runs through the end of 2027, although in 2027 it's not as expensive salary-wise as it is now. But, Cardinals fans, and God love them, I don't blame anybody for, making suggestions. But they're like, man, they need to trade Arenado. Well, who the hell's going to take that contract, I mean, the other teams see what we see, which is there's a guy that's 33 who's suddenly playing as if he's a lot older. And his power is, unless he can pull a mistake pitch, pull it right down the line, he doesn't hit for power anymore. I mean, the miles per hour off his bat is, unbelievably low. I think his time as an elite player has passed. It's just a matter of, can he just sort of at least do an average job? And I even question that. So it'd be easy to say trade him, but, you'd have to talk the other side into taking on about $40, $50 million. I don't think they're going to do that. So with Goldie, if he walks or the Cardinals say, look, this has been great, but we have to move on. I mean, you can play Alec Burleson at first, and then you go out and you try to identify some other people that can help you in the lineup, and you either make a trade or two or sign a free agent or two. But Burleson actually plays first base better than he does in the outfield. So they have someone that he can plug in there. That's my point.
Bernie Miklas, our guest. So we're obviously here in Wichita. It's kind of Royals country mostly. Here in Wichita, Kansas, we've seen that franchise go from 56 wins to now being a serious contender in their division, certainly for a wild card spot. They're currently in position to get a wild card spot. They attacked this offseason with a vengeance. They spent money. They brought in people. They paid Bobby Witt an enormous sum of money because they recognize his abilities. He's a superstar already. Who knows what his ceiling is? And here are the Cardinals kind of, in my opinion, Bernie, not, maybe not penny pinching, but being very careful and working around the edges a lot. There's a big difference in what's going on right now in Kansas City and St. Louis. Is that noticed in St. Louis?
No, it does. When I was still doing my radio show, regular radio show, you know, I'd have some people texting us saying, you know, I'm becoming a Royals fan. I'm done with the Cardinals. I don't know if they were serious or not. But to your point, you know, their front office had to deal with the same kind of issues the Cardinals had to deal with. They had to find a way to put a pitching staff together on the fly, and they already had a couple, you know, pieces in place, as everybody there knows, Cole Reagans especially. But you know, they went out and made some really smart moves with their starting rotation. You know, with Waka and Lugo, and I'm probably leaving somebody out. I mean, they went out and they targeted some guys and they hit on every one of them. And they also, you know, you look at, you know, they allow less than four runs per game. I mean, their run prevention is outstanding. And when you can do that, then whatever your offense does, you put less pressure on your offense to win the games for you. So they play really great baseball. I mean, I'm impressed by what they do. And I was telling Will Leach, my partner on the Seeing Red podcast, because he was sort of making fun of the Royals, which is okay. I mean, he was just being playful. But I said, you know, since 2014, the Royals they've got more pennants than the Cardinals, and they got a World Series title. The Cardinals don't, and they've won more postseason games than the Cardinals. So I wouldn't be making too much fun of the Royals.
Yeah, these are difficult times, certainly, as for those of us like me, Cardinals fans. You report on them, so you've got an interesting time reporting on this downturn in St. Louis. As Jeff kind of alluded to earlier, I'm becoming more of a proponent of, okay, you got Brendan Donovan, you got Alec Burleson, you got Mason Winn, you got Wilson Contreras. You've got some guys at Triple-A, Jordan Walker included. He's picked it up a little bit down there. They just brought up Victor Scott, who I still have high hopes for. Tink Hentz looks like a guy. Thomas Segesi looks like he could be a pretty good player. They drafted J.J. Weatherholt with the 7th pick in the draft, one of the highest picks they've had in many years. It looks to me like it's almost screaming out for a little bit of a youth movement. Do they have the wherewithal to really pull that off, to really go that way?
I think they fear that well, listen, they have said this, Bill DeWitt III and Bill DeWitt Jr., they don't believe that St. Louis Cardinals fans like can stomach a long, painful rebuild. And I know what they're saying. I mean, because when I say we're spoiled, that's not a criticism, but they were so good for so long, it's just kind of stunning to see them struggle the way they are. And, you know, I know it doesn't compare to some other markets where the team loses all the time, but that's the point. The standards here are very high. And one of the reasons the standards are really high is because the fans propel the engine. They buy tickets. They sell 3.2, 3.3 million every year. It's amazing for, you know, this market size. So the fans have done their job. They've held themselves to a high standard by supporting the team, and they've done it beautifully. There's more empty seats now, no shows, but I understand that too. And the Cardinals have had a competitive payroll. It's not like they're cheap. My problem with them is they don't spend their money wisely. They make a lot of bad investments. So when I'm just doing my show, and people say, well, DeWitt's cheap and he needs to open up the wallet. He needs to do this. And I said, well, hold on a minute. I understand your frustration, but I don't want them to spend a lot of money because they screw it up when they try to, you know. So how many contracts have gone bad under this regime? And, you know, now you got Arenado's contract going bad. And again, I don't blame them for making that trade, but I'm just saying it turned out to be riskier than we ever anticipated. So that's why whoever runs this front office, you know, you brought up the Royals, and the Royals are a good model. I mean, you don't have to make these huge monster moves that gets ESPN and gets Fox and gets, you know, everybody going nuts about how much they're spending. It isn't like the amount of money you spend. If you just have pinpoint targets and you know what you're doing, and you make some buys that would be considered, you know, high value for low dollar, you can turn this thing around pretty quickly. But they screw up spending money. And I get frustrated not only with the fact that they screw up spending money, terrible mistakes. I get frustrated that there's a lot of the fans, I don't know how many, but I hear from them, who want them to spend more money. And I'm like, well, you know, I wouldn't have much confidence in their decision makings on that, you know. So they're in between, you know, Bob. I think that's what's summing up. They're in between. They're not a horrible team. They're not an awful team. They're close to being a contending team. They're close to maybe being someone that can go up a little higher, but you got to make some strategical moves that would pay off. So I don't know. I kicked this around, this idea of a full-scale rebuild. I do. And I thought, it's like, here's my thing. If you keep putting it off and, you know, you keep missing the playoffs and your fans have sat through 3 or 4 years where you're kind of a 500 team, maybe a little bit above, a little bit below, well, that's the time you could have been rebuilding. You know, so in other words, if you're going to waste seasons and not get to the playoffs and not win in the playoffs, then why wouldn't you rebuild? You know, I think that's a legitimate question. You see what I mean?
Yep. Good stuff, Bernie, as always. I appreciate it. Thanks for indulging me. I need to talk to you occasionally, and this is like a session at the psychiatrist's office. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, man. Anytime, Bob. You know that. Don't be a stranger. All right. You can call me anytime. Thank you. See you.
Thank you, Bernie. Bernie Miklas, helping me out a little bit.